So, with the beginning instructions to the path of meditation, for example, with the raw beginners, one of the main attractions to, say, begin to practice is to, you know, just to develop a degree of peacefulness, a sense of ease, relaxation, and naturally resistance to stress, which everyone in the modern age is very familiar with. You know, if you're working either full time or you're running a family, a household, and you have a lot of things that you have to deal with, to think about, to attend to, and all these things, all these busy things that we do in, say, modern both Asian Western culture, has the effect is to essentially to keep you thinking, to make your mind more and more, say, busy, depending exactly where you find yourself in life and the level of say duties, responsibilities you have. And so, but realistically, what we aim for, say, at the from the intermediate to the high level as the years go by, is to develop a state of mind where you essentially, the mind is just naturally quiet as you move through your day-to-day routine, and when it's necessary for you to think, then you can think, remember, engage, problem solve, and then as soon as you are finished with the tasks at hand, then when you your duties, responsibilities are completed, then the mind just relaxes and goes to, say, like a state of rest or peacefulness. And naturally for the monks and nuns, this is much easier to develop over time, because the thing is, as well, especially with life these days, you've got so much sensory impingement coming through, like your work time, through internet, radio, television, that you may find it a little bit difficult to sort of calm down and get peaceful. But the over time, that people can develop, say, skills to the best of their ability with the meditation practice to get quite reasonable results as the months and the years go by. And I tend to focus on, say, like not necessarily like hours and hours and hours of practice each day, which is what the monastics are supposed to do, but especially with the lay practitioners, you have to, because you don't have hours of free time up your sleeve that to work on, say, developing quality meditation. So even if you've only got, say, 5 minutes or 10 minutes of quiet time on a daily basis, that you make the best use of that time to get as peaceful as you possibly can. And there's quite a few techniques that the monastics work very, very well over time. And there's all sorts of little methods. And almost like meditation techniques, small techniques that you can do to maintain a degree of background peacefulness that you can do right through the day and evening. And something I recommend for people who are really interested in meditation and really want to get good results quite quickly is this kind of 1 minute mantra I recommend for people. And I do this whenever I've got spare time and I'm not doing anything anything really sort of taxing in particular, but for people who are really interested in practice and like to do a technique that they can do essentially just all day and half a night, is this kind of 1 minute mantra where you just choose anything whatsoever in nature, anything in the world. And the mantra is based on the changeability of phenomena, which has the ability to induce this sense of peacefulness, calm, emotional stability, and a degree of detachment, emotional stability leading to detachment over time. And especially for the beginners, if you really want to get a foothold, instead of having to work on the practice for minimum, say, weeks, you know, several weeks, months on end. This kind of practice, which is very user friendly, you can basically do anything with it. You can run a company, drive a car, use power tools. You know, it's a very, very safe technique, but it develops, if you do this for a couple of days, you develop this background peacefulness, you know, depending on exactly how incredibly busy your life is, which potentially can be there just all the time. So you know, you develop this background silence, which is there all your waking hours, you know, like 18 hours a day. And it's just a skill, but it can give very good results, and it's just something you can just do all the time, 7 days a week, you know, just one these little, very simple mantras. Could be like flowers are changeable, or the universe is changeable, or feelings, consciousness, anything which really draws your attention, which interests you. And if you really want to induce say firmness of meditation, stability of meditation, really, really quickly, and it's a user-friendly technique, you know, you can just do it no matter what you're doing. You can just do it anytime, anywhere, virtually. It's a very quick way to get good results, much faster than maybe just sitting just for 5 or 10 minutes on a daily basis. This is the kind of, you know, you can just do this kind of thing all your conscious hours. So as we develop the, you know, this initial, say, peace and calm and emotional stability, you know, you may feel that, you know, a sense of that, of sense like ease, relaxation, resistance to stress, and, you know, which is all very, very useful and helps, you know, increase the quality of one's life, and, you know, even things like one's connections with other people and within one's friends, within the family, the ability to, you know, to really focus and sustain attention with work and it could be anything, you know, business, hobbies, interests, and because, you know, by developing this skill with attention, that ability to focus, to be aware, will carry over in many, many other areas of your life. So, you know, these very simple meditation techniques, you know, could have like a half a dozen applications in your day-to-day experience. So especially for the beginners, that we tend to focus on the breath meditation, which can be done you know, like in half a dozen different ways, and some people find different methods better than others. And also we tend to add a little bit of, say, compassion or loving kindness meditation. And if you did that for, say, even for 60 seconds, continually for 60 seconds, it induces a degree, like, say, like mild softness, positivity, inner joy, happiness, which helps to increase the quality of the meditation in a much shorter period of time. And plus, just that 60 seconds of loving kindness, compassion for oneself, that energy will stay with you for up to 24 hours, and it will keep you in, like, say, minimum, say, like, reasonable spirits. It'll help, you know, it'll keep you, you know, you feel that under, it's the fastest way which is available to develop, like, real happiness in life. You know, it's a very, very simple practice, and it's based on, you know, may I be happy, say, confident and successful, may I be positive and loving, may I be wise and skillful. So any particular words which are important to you, we radiate that positive feeling towards oneself, and the vast majority of people are interested in happiness and a sense of well-being, and you can do that in a very, very short space of time. You do that for 60 seconds every day for yourself in the evening before you go to sleep, and you will feel a change in consciousness easily within, say, 7 days. You'll definitely feel more relaxed, more happy, more positive, more friendly, and you'll have, say, greater resistance to, say, things like irritation, jealousy, possessiveness, and extreme cases like anger. You know, it counteracts all these, say, garden variety negative feelings which some people can be subjected to, you know, depending on your personal makeup. So what we'll do with this particular session, so we've got 30 minutes, and so we'll do the loving kindness, so just so you can see the effect of it. Well, I'll be a bit precise, we'll only do it for 1 minute, or say 1 or 2 minutes maximum, and then we'll focus on the breathing meditation. So with the breathing meditation, I'll go very, very, very broad, which is a feely based meditation. And then once you start to get a sense of groundedness with the breath meditation for the raw beginners, then we'll sharpen the focus and I'll talk you through it as we go through the rest of the session. So with the beginner's instructions, if you can just sit comfortably with your hands in your lap, and your back nice and straight, head upright but comfortable. Just make sure there's nothing tight around the neck, waist and the wrists. So what I want you to do is choose the words which are important to you, you know, with your personality. May I be warm and loving. May I be positive and confident. Could be like love and enjoy the life that I have. So whatever is really crucial, very important to you on the level of personal happiness, sense of joy and positive energy, choose the words which are important to you. May I be such and such, and we'll do that just continually for 60 seconds, and then we'll make a start with the breath meditation. So just do that that mantra just silently in the mind for the next minute or so. So we'll move across to the breath meditation now. So what I want you to do initially is to focus on your abdomen, and as you feel the rise and the fall of your belly with the cycle of breathing. So as the breath comes into the body and the tummy rises, and as the breathing goes out, the tummy falls. I want you to focus right there, all the sensations, the feelings in the abdomen. So we'll focus right there for 15 minutes, and then we'll sharpen the focus down for the remainder of the session. So just do that silently. Focus on the feelings at the abdomen. So as you continue with the breathing, take nice, slow, deep breaths to maximize your energy and alertness. you find that the sensations in the abdomen are a little bit faint, just breathe a bit faster and more forcibly, and you'll increase that sense of feeling in the solar plexus. find yourself a little bit sleepy or dozy, you can actually meditate with your eyes open. You can just sort of keep one's gaze slightly down towards the floor section, but it minimizes the potential to nod off and fall asleep. So now we'll narrow the focus down. So now I want you to place your attention on the feelings around the mouth section. The reason why I've focused on the mouth for well over, like say, 5 years now is it's an area of the body, of the face, which really stands out. You've got lots of nerve endings around the mouth and the lips and the tongue, and you can focus there quite comfortably, very, very clearly. This is why I focus on the mouth section, and you tend to get quite good focus, stillness, and the quality of attention. It's quite distinct. So just focus on the feelings around the mouth for the remainder of the session. you find that your mind is a little bit busy, what you can do to help settle the mind is just try to understand the thoughts and the feelings which are coming up for you. This is the understanding side of the practice. So if you have a certain, say, idea or person or events or scenario which keeps coming up in the mind, just try to explore that and understand the reasons behind that particular feeling or thinking process. Because the more you understand these things, the mind relaxes its grip and it lets go, and then the mind becomes more peaceful. we're coming towards the end of the session. So just see if you can see any difference in the peacefulness of the mind at the beginning and at the end. I'll ring the gong 3 times. You can open your eyes when you're ready. Well, I don't really have much of a stressful life in the monastery, so, but we'll try to get a perspective on this. So you know, when you, whatever, so for example, when you go through your day, you know, day-to-day routine, and you feel a sense of say, pressure, tension, you know, people are making demands on you, or you know, you could have worries like, you know, having to pay one's bills or pay one's mortgage. So there's always that constant, you know, especially with modern life, that constant worry and concern where you have to cover things, you know, you have to take care of things and or deal with certain people, situations. So you've got like a potential number of triggers which can induce both an emotional and a physical, say, stress response. So you know how you know if we've got triggers through the course of our day. I mean, how do we work with this stuff? You know, it may be very difficult to remove oneself from one's mortgage or from one's work or from difficult people. All sorts of things happening, and you can't necessarily remove yourself from the situation, but you may be able to adjust the way you respond to the triggers that you're under. And naturally, stress is, I mean, it's healthy up to a point, because if you don't feel any sense of stress, responsiveness, concern, maybe even mild worry, you know, you can do things like, you know, like you can walk out in front of a car on a highway. You know, you can make mistakes or errors which could be like detrimental to your safety or your children's safety. So stress does make you aware. It makes your senses aware, and with this awareness comes, you know, the, like, you know, you feel a potential for you know, for action. You know, you have to respond, you have to behave, you know, you have to take some kind of possibly some kind of action, a certain direction, you know, you need to follow. Like stress induces a response, both an emotional or physical response. And you know, most of us can deal with our regular stuff without great difficulty, but when the stress really starts to snowball you, and you know, and then emotionally you feel really like ill at ease, you feel uncomfortable, and you know, you feel that just that underlying, you know, the tension, emotional tension. And you know, it's really, you know, and on the physical level, those things which are the factors for the stress that one feels can even, you know, can make people, you know, nervous, can make them tremble, can make them, you know, even physically sick, or even bring about physical disease in the body. Even things like cancer. I had a person who was quite well versed, was a specialist in this area, like a alternative health professional, and they just said, you know, a very, very smart lady, and she just said outright that many of the cancer patients that she sees, that these people are under significant stress, you know, like beyond the acceptable range for years on end. And the stress affects the biochemistry of the body, the physiology, and it can give rise to tumors and different types of cancer. You know, not in every single case. It depends on people's past karma, depends on things like poisons, chemicals, food additives, you know, smoking, drugs, all sorts of different things. Especially contact with petrochemicals is a prominent one. So, you know, stress can potentially induce this very unpleasant emotions and unpleasant, say, physical response in the body. So, you know, so how are we going to work with this? You know, how do we deal with it? So, like, in a skillful manner that we can do. Say on a continually as a skill, you know, we develop this kind of skillfulness with a stress response. And so for example your stress, you know, you could be like what do they call it, these people who work for the airlines and they call it a flight controller. You're on a computer or on a screen, and you're responsible for bringing both for the takeoff and the landing of major airline carriers, you know, jumbo jets and the like, which is a very, very high degree of responsibility. Or you could be a policeman, could be a prison officer. So, you know, you're looking at varying degrees of professional stress. So the way you actually perceive your experience. So, you know, so how are you going to look at the triggers, the factors which actually give you the stress response? You know, is it possible to actually look at your situation in a way which is less alarming, less threatening, and doesn't induce that same kind of, you know, emotional physiological response? You know, are you able to look at this experience in a slightly different way? And loving kindness, compassion, and sympathetic joy meditation can be very useful, which helps to soften the mind, energize the mind, increase the positivity. And you're actually less susceptible to this kind of, like, you know, reactive behavior. And so what happens with, you know, so for example, anyone who's done a little bit of loving kindness every day for years on end, will tell you that, you know, you've got to be pushed a lot further. You know, the stress level, it's really got to kick in, you know, before you actually feel it. You've got a greater degree of resistance. The threshold has got to be pushed before you get the same kind of reaction, because, you know, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, they protect you against these garden variety negative emotions that we go through in life. And you know, somebody once said that, you know, they were in a work situation and a certain person just went right off in their face. You know, they're just like shouting and carrying on and this and that. Got really, really hot-headed about this particular, say, management situation. and their co-workers were quite amazed that they just basically just didn't explode and go right off the handle when this person was virtually shouting, I mean, in their face, you know, continually for like well over 1.5, like 2 minutes. And what it does is those three emotionally based meditations give you a degree of, say, protection and resistance to negative stimuli coming into the mind. This is the easiest, fastest way to deal with this kind of stuff. And you know, when you do it for like 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes, you don't have to do it for, you know, for hours, and then it's amazing just how effective it works. And anyone who does loving kindness will, you know, becomes quite skillful. They'll be able to tell you many, many things about the loving kindness meditation, the way it works on the level of your mind and even the level of your body. And you can think, so you can have a cancer, you can radiate this pure love and compassion towards the cancer within itself, no matter where it's located in the body. And it's physiologically possible to shrink the size of that cancer with this very, very strong, loving, caring, compassionate energy or vibration. You know, because you're using the power of your mind, you're directing the energy from your mind in a positive way towards that disease process, towards an infected liver or kidneys. You know, it's quite possible to heal yourself with this kind of approach, because as you radiate these positive feelings, you increase the strength and the quality of chi which is running through the meridians in that particular area of the body. And it's been scientifically proven to do that. You know, when you do these kinds of meditation, when you do even general meditation, and Tai Chi people, Qigong people will tell you this: when you meditate, it increases the quality and the flow of chi in the physical body and also in the brain. And they've measured it. Scientists have actually measured it electronically, you know, with sensors, with computers. So, for example, this is a classic where, you know, everyone these days, you know, is very well aware that, you know, the degree of pressure on the economy, the degree of pressure on the employment sector. So, you know, jobs are harder to come by these days, and people have to work a lot harder to safeguard their position and to, you know, to earn the wages that are due to them. You know, like 20-30 years ago, life was just so much easier, so much breezier. You know, people could walk in and out of jobs. You know, they didn't have to work like maniacs to safeguard their in employment, and you know, especially with mortgages, bills, the cost of living, cost of accommodation and rental. You know, life's getting just more and more difficult. It's getting like economically, you know, quite tough. And naturally, you know, people are really, they're really going to feel that, and that constant worry on a day-to-day basis. You know, like making enough money to cover groceries, just basic living bills and mortgage payments. And because if you can't make the payments, then you're really in trouble. You know, you can lose your home. It can affect your marriage. Affects one's relationships with the kids. You know, you just can't get the stuff that your kids need. You know, for with their interests, hobbies, things like, you know, it could be anything. It could be special classes, tuition. And so, you know, how do we work with this kind of stimuli? And for example, if I was in that situation, one thing I would do is I would tend to, say, streamline and economize the quality of my, say, the way I was living.
You know, I would try to minimize the, you know, my expenditure,
my overheads, the kind of money I was splashing out on this, that, and the other, and even things like, you know, becoming, say, vegetarian. If I was, you know, everyone knows how expensive, you know, like meat. I mean, maybe not so much sausages. I mean, I've got no idea what sausages are worth, but you know, everyone knows that good quality cuts of meat and fish and pork and bacon and all this kind of thing, it's really, it can get very, very expensive, very pricey compared to vegetables, which haven't, and fruit. I mean, you know, even, you know, say for example, when I check with people, or, you know, if I go into town, which is not that, you know, not that often, on an irregular basis, and I just look at the price of vegetables and fruit, and it hasn't increased, like, you know, in a crazy way, like significantly, over the last 20 years. I mean, what I paid for, say, for fruit and vegetables when I was in lay life, the prices haven't doubled or tripled. You know, across the board, you know, they might be slightly more expensive, but, you know, for people who want to save, you know, significant amounts of money, you know, fresh fruit and vegetables is certainly a plus. And plus, you know, you tend to, you know, when your diet is fairly clean, quite wholesome, you know, you have more physical energy, you have greater resistance to disease, infection. You have greater energy when you're working, when you're playing with the kids, you know, when you're, you know, running around doing this, that, and the other. And your quality of life tends to be better, you know, from this perspective, you know, because if you're the type of person who just really, really goes, really loves to eat lots of tasty, rich, extravagant things, you know, it's going to slow you down. It's going to age you. You're gonna feel minimum five years older easily, compared to your personal age, and you know the potential for, you know, just for increased medical costs, for increased trouble, bills, you know, checkups and scans and all this kind of stuff. You know, if you can, you try to simplify, streamline one's lifestyle so that one has less things in one's house one has to worry, be concerned about, has to fix or repair. And then, you know, you protect your dietary profile. You eat pure foods, healthy foods, you know, fruit, vegetables, grains, minimize the fat, sugars, sweets, and irritants. And because the richer your diet is, the quicker you are going to get sick and diseased. Proven time and time again. So with a pure food diet, plant-based diet, you will have greater energy, greater health, greater vitality, and you'll have greater potential to resist the pressure and the stress which is coming your way. If you're strong, energetic, fit, you know, you're going to be able to cope with things more easily, whether it's running around after the kids, you know, playing professional sports, you know, getting out there in the garden, you know, working, you know, it could be anything, it could be any working 4 to 8 hours, you know, with one's shrubs and plants and this and that, and you know, so you've got more energy at your disposal to deal with one's life. And sort of, you know, like psychologically, you know, what kind of perspective can we use, say, psychologically to deal with stress? And, you know, for example, if I consider myself, well, I can change my kind of perspective, my attitude, you know, that you know, I may be in a job where the boss is putting pressure on me, he's forcing me to perform, make more money for the company, this, that, and the other, and I can think to myself, well, you know, I can, you know, even though I'm under stress and I'm under pressure and I don't like it, you know, can I potentially change my attitude? And if I look at the big picture, the course of my life, and I look at all the major elements which make up the my life profile, and I look at all the good things that I'm doing on a say day-to-day basis. And so, for example, I'm sitting there in the office, and the boss is looking over my shoulder, making sure that I'm performing. I'm busting my guts, busting my chops, you know, trying to make money for this guy and the company. And I can think to myself, oh, the boss, you know, the boss is a rat bag, you know, and I really don't want to be here, and you know, I'm just trapped, you know, I'm in a corner and I'm trapped, and I've got a mortgage, I've got this and that, and you know, so how am I going to change this kind of perspective? One little trick people can do is think. As you're sitting there, you could be a tradesman, you could be sitting there in one's office. I mean, what are the good things that I'm actually doing here? What am I actually achieving, like, with this position that I'm in? And then you can run through all the things, like, in one's workplace, that I'm making, say, like, it could be potentially a very valuable contribution to the company. I'm not there just to make money, you know, to get my paycheck and to cover my bills. That I'm actually making a useful, practical contribution to the company. I'm supporting my boss and my co-workers, and you know, the products that we're actually we're developing, we're generating, are of personal benefit to the local community, to the society that I live in, and my life has potentially has value. I'm not just doing a dead end job which is just worthless, is completely useless to every single person in the community and those companies and business which actually depend on the work that I do, at least in a small way. So you know, you can run through all the good things which, you know, all the positive attributes and the qualities which basically encircle you, surround you in the position that you're in. From the time, you know, if you want to increase the positivity, this sense of energy and positivity, fulfillment, right from the time you get up in the morning, you know, there's a number of approaches here. You can look at all the good things in one's personality. So, you know, if you look at yourself, everyone can find, you know, can find good and useful and it could be charming and lovely things within their personality. And so you can just run it through. You know, what kind of person am I? What kind of good qualities do I possess? And you can run right through. I'm a friendly person, I'm quite helpful with others, I support my mum and dad. I am patient, I'm a good listener. You know, people tend to like me, I have very, very few enemies. And you know, you can run it through, and every day you get more and more skillful. You could run through easily 15 to 20 nice things that you can think about oneself. So you increase you bring to mind and you increase the positivity of your personal profile, the way you feel about yourself. Some people may feel that, you know, they're okay, they're a decent human being, I'm not evil, you know, people, I get along, you know, this and that. But you can boost up that sense of worth, self-confidence, you know, that strong sense of, like, integrity, that I am a very good quality human being, and that my life is important and it counts. And something, another parameter, after you've focused on oneself, is to focus on the course of one's life. So when you get up in the morning, just run it through. All the good things that you can see that you do for one's family, one's friends, the local community, right through the course of one day. Even putting out things like bird seed for the small birds in one's local community. It could be something like bringing in the newspaper for one's granddad, or to give you an idea just how I mean, how powerful certain actions can be. So some of you would be aware of this. I mean, I don't get on the internet very often at all. But there was two neighbours living in, I think it must have been here in Perth. It was in Peppermint Grove, and so two wealthy families. One lady was a former family. One lady was a widow and had lived alone for at least several years. The story was going back quite a while. And then the other was a family, husband, wife, couple of kids, standard family unit, and then living next door to a lady who had lost her husband. And the lady of the family, because she was quite a nice person, kind person, she would take that lady's newspaper and her milk up to her front door every single morning, and she did this for several years. And when that senior lady, when she died at a later stage, she had no persons to relinquish her estate in her will. And that lady from that family was so kind, was friendly and kind and a nice person, good-hearted, and she did that for her without any goals, without any overlying motive, and just being a good neighbour. And that lady who passed away with absolutely no dependence. Supposedly, no family that she knew of. She bequeathed the house and her full estate and her financial assets, I believe, to that lady. And it's a bit of an extreme situation. It doesn't happen any day, but it makes you aware the potential. Say that what karma can actually do. Karma is action. And when you do good actions, these good actions can have amazing results. They can have little results. But especially with the meditators, when you develop this increasing awareness, and even with the monks, the way things go, the timing, and the way things happen at certain times in certain places. And it's like your karma is just playing out, and it's just unfolding before your very eyes. And it's you're looking at 5-10 second time frames, like boom, 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 over whatever 12-16 hours, while you're awake and conscious. And it's not like you just happened to see that person at a certain time, or that person just happened to ring while you're in the office, or you just happened to ring mum and dad at a certain point when there were things happening, or somebody came round and offered to help you with just some medicines, just little things, which were quite crucial, quite useful for you at that point in time. It's amazing when just even with small stuff, you can be small to intermediate, but when you develop an awareness and a sensitivity to these things, You start to see cause and effect over and over and over again. And so, getting back to that original point, so increasing that sense of goodness, that you actually feel that your life has value, it counts. I'm a good person, my life, I have a reasonably good quality life. Compared to a person who's on the street, who's living on the street, possibly on welfare, dependent on soup kitchens, the Salvation Army, and mental illness, destitute, maybe even drug affected, or an alcoholic, and no family. And if you compare yourself with the most deprived, disadvantaged people that we see in society, most of us, our life is pretty well fantastic, really. If you've got if you've got a decent home, and you've got food on the table, you've got you've got family and you've got friends. Even that is more than to be thankful for. But if you've got things like, you've got a television, you've got your internet access, you've got a vehicle, sometimes you can go on holiday, maybe once every 12 months, 18 months. I wouldn't call them sort of outright luxuries, but they increase the sort of like the quality, the comfort, the interest aspect of one's life. And so you compare yourself with really, really poor and disadvantaged that we see in the local community, and your life will really should look fantastic by comparison. Yeah, so with that same principle, as you go through your day-to-day routine, from the time you get up in the morning till the time you go to sleep at night, look at all the good things that you've got, all the good things that you do for oneself, for others, for the business, for the community, and even the world. You could be in the World Health Organization. You could be working for the Salvation Army across Australia, or some support foundation on a global level. So don't underestimate what the potential effect of yourself on other people and the local community and essentially even across the globe if you're in a crucial or high powered position. So I better stop it there. So